seated. Would you take God's word this morning if you were able to bring a copy? Maybe you have the Bible on your phone. You can follow along there as well. But turn to the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. We want to note three verses in this particular yes, and we'll have our children, be dismissed at this time for Children's Church, age 4 through 6th grade. Age 4 through 6th grade, all right? All right, Ephesians chapter 6. We are looking this morning at verse 18 through verse number 20. The Word of God says to us, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Keep your place there. This morning I want to preach a message entitled, The Energy of the Soldier. Father, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for how it touches us and how, if we will open our hearts and minds to it, it can transform our lives. And so we need understanding this morning from this passage, the importance of the battle that we are in. The day that we came to know Christ as Savior was the day that we entered into spiritual warfare. Our enemy, the devil, will do what he can, we know, to discourage us, to distract us, to get us off the path, but help us to understand the importance of the energy we find in this important aspect of prayer. So challenge us in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a true story of a Welsh woman who lived in a remote valley in Wales. She went to a great deal of trouble and expense to have electrical power installed in her home. However, after a while, actually a couple months, the electric company noticed that she didn't seem to use very much electricity at all. This concerned the electrical company. So they sent out a meter man to find out if there was any problem with the hookup. The man came to the door and said, "We've just checked your meter, and it doesn't seem that you're using much electricity. Is there a problem?" She says, "Oh no, we're quite satisfied. We turn on the electric lights every night to see how to light our lamps, and then we switch them off again." As I read that, I thought, why didn't this woman make more use of her electricity? She believed in it, obviously. She went to a great deal of trouble and expense to have her house wired for it. But she had failed to tap into the potential of power at her disposal. You and I, for these last few Sundays, have been looking at the importance of being a soldier of Jesus Christ and how we have been challenged to stand. We find that we are to stand in the power of the Lord. We have found that God has equipped us with the proper equipment that we need to stand in the battle. But if you end at verse number 17, which the Bible does not, but many times when teaching and preaching is done on this passage, this is where oftentimes a pastor, an evangelist, will stop their teaching on the armor of God. But if you stop there, you miss an important part of the equipment. And we find in this passage this morning, verse number 18 through verse number 20, the important piece of equipment is the subject of prayer. Prayer is so vital to us as Christians. And we, if you would, can be just like this lady who had all this power at her disposal but failed to tap into the power. Many times in our life, we hear sermons on prayer. Maybe some of you have even read books on prayer. And yet you may identify with what I'm about to say. Sometimes I still feel so weak in prayer. I feel like it's not that I don't pray, but there's something about prayer that I feel like there's so much more I could learn about it. The late preacher Oswald Chambers said that prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. And here in this passage of Scripture, I believe that the teaching concludes on being a good soldier of Jesus Christ and standing our ground. It is found in this, the energy for the soldier is found in this area of prayer. And so notice with me, if you would, some truths beginning at verse number 18 that will help us in this matter of being a better person in this practice of prayer. First of all, we are to pray at all times. The Bible here says in verse number 18, praying always. Now I know what you might be thinking there as you are listening to me this morning. You think, well, how does that work? I mean, I've got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the Bible here says to pray always. Does that mean that we are to literally go around with our heads bowed and our eyes closed and pray? No, not at all. We would never get anything done, right? We might run into a lot of walls and so forth. We wouldn't be driving if our eyes are closed, although sometimes, don't you think, when you run around some drivers, you think their eyes are closed? But nonetheless, that's not what the Bible is teaching here. The Bible is teaching us is that we are to always be in communion with the Lord. It's, if you would, it's never having to say, Lord, we come into your presence because we have never left your presence. Because he promised, I am with you, and he said this, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And prayer should be a major part of our life. Just like breathing is just like, or praying is just like breathing air. It ought to be that natural to you. Sometimes people struggle with prayer because they think, well, I can't pray like so and so. Listen carefully. You are not to pray like me. You are not to pray like one of the deacons in the church. You are not to pray like a fellow member of the church. That is not God's charge. Now, to be sure, when I have listened to others pray, I have learned along the way how to pray. But at the same point, they are not necessarily my measure of prayer. Remember when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, would you teach us to pray? And Jesus then gives what some people call the Lord's Prayer. I like to call it the model prayer, because in that model prayer, the Lord starts off and says, Our Father, which art in heaven. And so he begins to teach them how to pray. And if you look at the life of the Lord Jesus, you know that Jesus was given over to prayer many, many times. When the crowds were pressing in upon him, he would often do what he had to do and wanted to do, touch them, heal them, and at times feed them. And he did all of those things to minister to people. But Jesus valued that time alone where he would go off into the mountain and he would get alone with the Heavenly Father and he would just pray. Before he chose his 12 disciples, the Bible says that he had prayed all night and then the next day he had chosen the 12. Jesus valued the practice of prayer. In fact, the Bible tells us that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. And so prayer, yes, it is, seems at times so daunting in our life. Like, I don't know how to do it, so I'm just not going to do it. But may I say, the Bible challenges us that we are to pray at all times. And we find that we have to pray at all times, church, because we are the subject to temptations and attacks of the devil. The devil does not, if you would, let up. He continues to attack. He is on the prowl, and his temptations and His attacks will come toward us, and he will throw those fiery darts that we learned about last week. He will throw them at us, so we have to pray at all times. A surprise attack has hit more than one believer because they failed to pray. I know there are times in my own personal life when I have not prayed as I should, that I have also realized in my own life, it just seems like the attacks of the devil had come more frequently. And I have to keep myself given over to prayer. And we find in this passage of Scripture that we are to pray at all times. Now turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans. The book of Romans in the New Testament Scriptures gives us a teaching in Romans chapter 8, and we look at verse number 26 and 27. But while you're turning there, not only are we to pray at all times, but secondly, we are to pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. Notice this now in verse number 26 and 27. The Word of God says, likewise the Spirit. Remember now, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are known to us in Scripture as the three in one. But the Word of God here teaches us, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. What is that? Well, look at the rest of the verse. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So as a 9-year-old boy, I'm 60 now, but as a 9-year-old boy, the Lord Jesus Christ came into my life as my Savior. But someone else also came into my life, and that was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, whom I cannot see any more than I can see Jesus, now live in my body. The Bible teaches us that the moment we trust Christ as our Savior, that is the moment that, one, Jesus becomes our Savior, two, the Holy Spirit now takes up residence. The Bible calls our body the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I have the Holy Spirit living within me. He knows my weakness in prayer. He knows that I don't know how to pray as I ought to pray. How about you? Have you ever gone to prayer and not really know how to pray about a matter? Have you ever gone to prayer and praying for someone but not quite sure how to pray for them? I'll guarantee you this. The Holy Spirit in you knows how to pray for that one or for that situation that you were in. There was a grandfather who was out in his flower garden, and his granddaughter was there with him, and the grandfather heard the granddaughter kind of in an odd, reverent way praying. But she was praying the alphabet. And so he asked her, "What on earth are you up to?" The little girl explained, "I'm praying, Grandpa. I can't think of exactly the right words, so I'm just saying all the letters, and God will put them together for me because he knows what I'm thinking." And you know, there's times when I feel so weak in prayer, but I'm so thankful I have the Holy Spirit of God in me who knows my heart cry. There's times when I can't really utter a word, where sometimes my heart is so broken for someone or so broken for a situation that all sometimes I can do is just weep. Sometimes I just don't know what to say, and I'm just on my knees. I'm just crying out to God. I just don't know what to say. But the Holy Spirit helps me when I pray. And you can count on, according to Romans chapter 8, that when you pray and you don't know how to pray and you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit will guide you in prayer. There have been times as I am praying where I've had some things come to my mind where I know it's clearly the Holy Spirit of God saying, pray for this one. Now, I didn't have, if you would, and I don't necessarily pray by a list, but I didn't really have that person on my heart. I didn't have them on my mind. It wasn't because I didn't care about them. But the Holy Spirit, just by way of example, hey, pray for Chad. And I just pray. Now, I don't know what Chad may be facing at that very moment that the Holy Spirit brought his name to my mind, but the Holy Spirit does. And I'll just be obedient to the Holy Spirit, and I'll lift that one that the Holy Spirit brings to my mind. I'll say, Lord, if it's Tracy, Lord, I pray for Tracy right now at this moment. I don't know what he's dealing with. I don't know what he's facing. But Lord, would you guide, would you direct? And the Holy Spirit takes that prayer and uses it. Because there are times in our life, let's just be honest with us, ourselves. Some of you that I'm talking to have been saved many years. You've had sweet communion with the Lord. But let's just be honest. Sometimes we are just like children. We don't know what to say. And that's all right. That's all right. Because the Holy Spirit is there to help us when we pray. Now, I want you to notice a third thing in the text. The Bible says, back to Ephesians chapter 6, that as a soldier, we're not only to pray at all times. We are not only to stand and pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. But thirdly, we're to pray with alertness. Notice what it says now in this context, where he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. When you read your Bible, you will learn that there is often a phrase that occurs primarily in the New Testament scriptures, but it's watch and pray. Here, as he is challenging us in our prayer life, he is saying, I want you to watch and I want you to pray. They are like two guards, if you would, that stand over our heart, watch and pray. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 13 that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. That was written to the Roman Christians of that time. And he's saying, hey, I don't want you to be spiritually asleep. I want you to be alert. I want you to be awake. I want you to stay alert to the needs of others. I want you to stay alert as a soldier. You are standing against the wiles of the devil. He's throwing those fiery darts. And he's saying to us, I want you to be sober. I want you to be alert. I want you to be awake. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the devil this morning wants to devour us. And the Bible says, be sober. Another way of saying that is, be alert, be awake, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, is seeking to devour you. You better stay on your knees if you would. You better stay in the spirit and the practice of prayer, because I tell you this morning that many times Satan will come to us, and he seems to come to us at times when we seem to be weak, and he knows how to throw those fiery darts. Let me give you an example of this. In the Old Testament scriptures, we have an account of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is leading the people of Judah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They had been burned down by the enemy. So Nehemiah goes through a process of preparation, gets everybody prepared. 52 days, they rebuild the wall, but it wasn't without their enemies. Sanballat and Tobiah would come and just seem like daily taunting them, daily just badgering them, daily trying to get Nehemiah to come down off the wall and have a meeting with them. And Nehemiah had realized that his workers were weary. They were tired. And the Bible says this, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch. Like an army sentry looking for an approaching enemy so they can respond and not be caught off guard. So what was Nehemiah doing? Nehemiah said, all right, here's how we're going to approach this. I realize you guys have been working good, and you've been working hard. You've been working some long hours, and you've been hearing the taunts of the enemy and the jeers of the enemy and all of that. He says, you are doing a good work. But we must not stop now. We must continue. We must do what God has called us to do. And so here's what we're going to do. I want some of you to continue to lay the brick and have a brick in one hand and the trowel in the other and just keep building and building. He says, but the rest of you, I want you to set a watch. I want you to watch for the enemy. And I want you to watch, if you would, and pray. They made their prayer unto God, and they set a watch. That is an Old Testament example of what we see right here, where he says, I want you to pray, and I want you to watch. The Bible tells us that we are to watch and pray, and it is the secret over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we find here that we are to pray with alertness. Many times, we pray when? In the times of goodness, or when life is difficult? When do we seem to pray the most? When the times are difficult. And that's natural for all of us. Lord, I'm facing this surgery. It's major. Lord, I've got this kind of financial need. Lord, I've got this kind of a family problem. And man, we're really going to God and we're really seeking His face. And there's nothing wrong with that. But yet, we are to watch and pray at all times. We are to be fervent in our prayer. We are not, if you would, to give up. Not that we're always in need. Not that we're always facing a major problem in our life. But when we stay in the spirit of prayer, stay with me. When we stay in the spirit of prayer, when that battle comes in your life, you're ready. When that battle comes in your life, you're now ready to stand, watch, and pray. But if you don't stay in that spirit and that practice of prayer, when the onslaughts of Satan come against you, oh, you may pray, but maybe not with that sense of fervency because you hadn't stayed in the spirit and the practice of prayer. Hey, I know what it's like. Lately in my own personal life, I have been investing in a lot of people's lives, doing one-on-one discipleship and so forth, and I love it. I enjoy it. It's great. Talking with people about them coming to know Christ as Savior, all of it is good. But this very week, as I said in my study, because one of my first practices in my own life is to get up in the morning, go to the Word, and pray. I'm just confessing. You guys are my confessional booth, all right? But this week, I really had to battle for that time. And as I sat in my study, I just bowed my head and I said, Lord, I'm sorry that I haven't given you the premium time that I need to give you. Not that I am sorry that I'm involved in other people's lives. But Lord, the truth of the matter, this is how I was praying, but Lord, the truth of the matter is this. I can't give to anybody else what I don't have in here. I've got to stay close to you. I've got to be able to feed myself so that I can continue to give out. That may or may not make sense to you, but reality is this, is that even Jesus showed us how he was pouring himself into the lives of others, and yes, they just wanted him to keep doing the healings and keep giving his great teachings, and yet he was pulled from many different directions, and yet the Bible says that he withdrew from the crowd, which to some might seem calloused. Well, you don't care for us? I mean, we got people here that need help. I know, but I can't really give them more help until they spend time with the Father. And when we spend time with the Father, when times are good, when times hit you hard, you'll be prepared. You'll be able to stand your ground against the enemy's attacks that come your way. You'll be able to, if you would, be prepared when maybe you might hear those words that you have a dreadful disease in your life. You'll be prepared. You might be shaken some, but at least you'll be prepared. You won't turn back on God. You'll say, God, if anything, now I'm drawing even closer to you. I've been drawing close, but now I'm even going to draw closer. And what are the privileges of praying? Now, this last point ties in to this point of praying with alertness. Now, I want you to notice the last point. Last point this morning is this. Pray for the church. Look at this, if you would. He says that praying should be done for all saints. Let me ask you this morning, did you faithfully this week pray for your church family? I mean, did you really pour your heart out to God on behalf of your church family? He says here in this context that when you pray, pray for all saints. I mean, the word all covers it all, doesn't it? And we're to pray for the church. A good soldier of Jesus Christ takes the time to pour his or her heart out on behalf of its church family. God led you here, not on accident. God led you here on purpose. And one of those purposes in mind, I believe sincerely with all of my heart, is this, is that you would become a prayer warrior on behalf of the church family. So anybody can do this. You don't have to have an office in the church. You don't have to have a position in the church. All of us have been called to pray for one another. And may I say that the way the world is going, we need to pray even more for each other. You guys go out into this everyday work world and so forth, and things that you have to deal with, really what all of our country is dealing with in the since this past year with the pandemic and all of that, and challenges that we've had to deal with and all of that. People getting discouraged, people taking their lives, people, I mean, I just know of a teenager recently who, 16 years of age, took his own life. If you knew him, you would just be shocked. I mean, you're shocked anytime someone takes their life. But if you knew this individual, he was writing Christian music. He was writing Christian poems. And yet, for whatever reason, and only the family knows, but for whatever reason, he saw fit to take his own life. And I tell you, we need to pray for one another. We must pray for the church. For all saints. Now let me break this down a little bit. I humbly ask you this morning, as Paul did in verse 19, I humbly ask you this morning to pray for me. Paul oftentimes in his letters that he wrote said, pray for me. And I ask you this morning, in that same vein, to pray for me. I say that not out of a selfish heart. I say that out of a pure, sincere heart this morning. Pray for the pastor. There was a man by the name of Steve who was traveling by plane. He noticed that the man sitting two seats over was thumbing through some little cards and moving his lips. The man looked professional with his goatee and graying brown hair, and Steve placed him at 50-something years of age. Guessing the man was a fellow believer, Steve leaned over to engage him in conversation. He said, it looks like to me you're memorizing something. He said, no, actually I'm praying. Steve introduced himself. He says, well, I believe in prayer too. He says, well, I have a specific assignment, said the man. And Steve asked him, well, what's that? Now get this. I'm praying for the downfall of Christian pastors. You see, believe it or not, there are those out there who call themselves Satanists who pray for that very thing. They pray for the downfall of pastors. May I say this morning that your enemy is my enemy. The devil. He doesn't want me doing what I'm doing here. He doesn't want me to come back on a Sunday night and preach the message again. He doesn't want me to come back and do it again on Wednesday night. He doesn't want to see this church advance. He doesn't want to see this pastor experience the blessings of God. He would love to destroy my family. He would love to destroy me and my wife and just break up our marriage altogether. He would love to do those kinds of things. What is my safeguard? What is my help? The same thing that Paul said. Would you pray for me? Look at this in verse 19. He says, "And pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." He says, pray for me. I'm standing in the trenches. I'm preaching the word of God. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm trying to help people grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. I'm starting churches as I go along the way. He says, pray for me. These fiery darts are coming. But secondly, not only pray for the pastor, but pray for the church family. The Bible again says back there in Nehemiah that Nehemiah not only prayed, but they set a watch. Now stay with me. They set a watch. That means, one, they stayed alert, right? It means also that they prayed. Let's take, for example, Brother Chad, a Christian soldier of Jesus Christ. He's living his life, doing his business, doing what he can to raise a godly family. As he's going along in the battle, though, he gets weary. He may even get discouraged. So Brother Tracy comes in as a soldier of Jesus Christ. And comes alongside him and prays for him when he's weak. Because they're both got something in common. They're both in the Christian family. But there's times when that brother may get weak spiritually and a stronger brother comes alongside him and says, hey, I'm going to pray for you. Then you got Sister Laura here. She's facing something in her life. God knows what it is. But she's getting a little discouraged. She's trying to stay faithful to the Lord, trying to stay faithful in prayer and live for God. And she just, sometimes, she may not even verbalize it, but sometimes she just needs someone, if you would, to come along, put an arm around her and say, hey, I'll stand beside you. I'll set a watch. While you take some time to rest and get healthy and spiritually strong, Hella Jean comes alongside her and just loves on her and prays for her. You got someone like Lexi, a teenage girl who wants to live for God, and it's not easy. But yet, Sherry can come along and say, hey, I know you're battling. But as your sister, soldier in Christ, I'll stand beside you and I'll set a watch while you get yourself restored and strengthened so that we can continue on in battle together. I could go on and on this morning, but what I'm simply saying to you is this. Every believer in this church is to be dependent upon the other believers. When I say I want you to pray for me, I don't mean just a select few of you. I mean all of you. And when I am encouraging to pray for your church family, I mean pray for all of them. When we started this year, we gave you a packet of information, and in that packet was a church listing of names and addresses. I'll just share with you what I do. I pray for the church family every day, but here's how I do it. I take the first 8 names and I pray for them by name. If you have adult children, I still pray for your adult children. So I start with Bob and Tina, and I pray for their 2 adult children and their families. Then I go down to the Ballards and I pray for them. And I'm telling you, I cover the church family every day when I pray. Now, you don't have to do it like I do it, but I'm telling you, sometimes for people who have never done it, it would seem like a daunting task. So if you can just break it up in bite-sized pieces and say, yes, I can do that. I can pray for 5 or 6 people in our church family on Monday. I can do it again on Tuesday. I can do it again on Wednesday. This way you're covering the whole church family. But why is it important? Because every one of us are facing the same devil. He wants to devour us. He wants to chew us up. He wants to break up your family. He wants to just break up your marriage. He wants to break up your business. He wants to just destroy you. And one of the great things that we can do for each other is, if you would, like a soldier of Jesus Christ, when one is down, the other one comes along and says, "Hey, I'll stand guard. You go get restored, refreshed, and come back and join me on the line." Because I tell you, there are times in our life, come on now, the best of us get weak. The strongest of us get weak. We get discouraged. We wonder, what's the use? Why keep doing it? Nobody seems to appreciate it. Those are all lies of the devil, but sometimes that's how we think. Boy, it's sure encouraging. This week, my wife and I received a card from a Christian sister, not part of our church, but it was nothing but encouragement in the card. She's told my wife how that, thanking my wife for saying something to her a few years ago and how it has helped her in her moment of need. And she told me, she says, "Pastor, thank you for faithfully preaching the Word of God." It wasn't a long card, but what she doesn't know was how timely those words were. And you see, this morning, here's what I want for you. You don't have to be a prayer scholar to pray. Just pray. So I don't know all those flowery words like some of you do. It's not about that. It's just like you and I sitting down having conversations. So you just lift up your heart and you pray. But pray. Now listen. I'm going to tell you right at the outset of this. If you set your heart to do this, I don't say this to discourage you, but I just want to give it to you as a warning. The devil will do everything he can to keep you from doing it. Just like he does everything else in the Christian life. He'll do everything he can to say, "You don't have time to pray. Come on, man, you're busy. You don't have time to on purpose get on your knees and pray. Get up off the, get going about your day." That's what he wants you to do. But God wants you to just take a few moments, lift your heart up to him, praise him, and pray. One of the greatest things Calvary Baptist Church can do, listen carefully, is to pray. Preaching is important. Telling others of Jesus is important. But the power behind it all is prayer. Now, as I close this morning, if our church is to experience victory in the battle as soldiers of Jesus Christ, we must be people of prayer. Let me give you 4 things, and then we'll wrap it up. This week, I challenge you, if you are not a person of prayer, to begin to pray daily. Don't worry about trying to pray an hour, 10 minutes. Time is not what is important. But taking the time to pray specifically, take time to pray daily. With that, secondly, lean on the Holy Spirit to help you pray. We're in this together. There's times we don't know how to pray. That's why he's there. To help us, to make understanding of our heart's cry when we can't form words. Thirdly, be alert to the attacks of the devil and pray with urgency. And in the last place, pray every day this week for your church family. Pray every day this week and keep it going throughout the rest of the year. Cover Calvary Baptist Church in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, on this subject of prayer, I have so much to learn, I know myself. I've preached a lot on it, I have read a lot of books on it, but sometimes I still feel like I'm at the beginner stage. But I've had some sweet communion times with the Lord in prayer. How about you? I wonder this morning, there'll be those here that say, Pastor, God has challenged me in some way in reference to this message this morning. And I want to respond today, first of all, in my heart, to what God is doing in my life right now in respect to this message. I want to be obedient. I want to begin to pray daily. I want to really be more fervent in praying for this church family. I really want to be praying with alertness and staying alert. I see some areas of weakness in my life, and I really want to give my heart over to this matter of prayer. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning, that I would be obedient to God as He has spoken to me through His Word this morning. Would you raise your hand, rub your app? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Yes, 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 yes. Several hands. Anybody else? Say, God has challenged me this morning in some area of my life. I see where I really need to grow up in this practice of prayer. Don't be afraid to admit it. I've been saved many years, and I see where I need to, some areas I need to grow up in it. Anybody else? Say, yes, Pastor, remember me in prayer. Yes, God bless you. Somebody else. Yes, God bless you. Somebody else this morning while we wait. Now, in just a moment, we will stand together, and our pianist will begin to play through a song, and I'm going to encourage you to come and just spend some time kneeling here and praying. If you can't kneel, just sit in the front row and pray. Pour your heart out to the Lord. Say, Lord, would you strengthen me? Would you help me to grow in this area of prayer? And He will. He will. I'm going to encourage you in just a moment to stand and come. But let me, before we do that this morning, ask you this. Do you know for sure, based on the authority of the Word of God, that if you died right now, that you would go to heaven? Do you know that with great certainty? I wonder this morning, there'd be someone here who say, Pastor, no, I don't. But I want to know. I'd like to know for sure that if I died right now, that heaven is my home and that Jesus is my Savior. If that's the need in your life this morning with your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift up your hand? I'm not going to call your name. I just want to remember you in prayer this morning. Say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. I do not know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I really want to know. I really want to nail this down. I don't want to keep doubting it and wondering if I am. I want to get it nailed down. If that's your need, would you raise your hand, rub your hat? Anybody at all? Yes, God bless you. Is there somebody? Yes, God bless you. Is there somebody else this morning? Somebody else. Anybody else while we wait? Say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. Now, those of you that raise your hand, I'm going to encourage you to do one of two things this morning. A, come. I'll meet you at the front. We'll have someone sit down with you and talk to you and help you understand this important decision. Or two, you can come and see me after the service is over. Say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. I want to get it nailed down today. Before I leave this church parking lot, I want to know with great certainty that Jesus is my Savior. Then again, one of those two things. Come, we'll have someone help you. Two, we'll talk about it after church. But you come. Let's stand together with it. As Sherry begins to play through right now, God has spoken to your heart on the subject of prayer. You come. God has spoken to you about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You step out as well. You come right now as we wait. God's speaking to hearts. You be obedient this morning. If you're not certain you're saved but like to be, step out. Let us help you. Or see me after the service this morning. But come, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Are you really a person of prayer? Are you really given over to the practice of it? Say, boy, that's really what I want in my life. There has to be a starting point. Let this today be that starting point. Say, Lord, today, would you teach me to pray? Teach me to pray. Won't you come? Won't you respond this morning? I surrender all. I surrender all.